Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Talking Blues podcast. A disappointing performance today, and it's just Peter and I here today. Josh, he couldn't bear his eyes. He couldn't bear his eyes at the performance. So it's now 2 weeks in a row, just Peter and I. So Josh better be back next week. But, you know, certainly a really disappointing day. 3-0 Leeds win, and it was just all over the place. It was a disaster class. It was shameful. It was bad. It was pathetic. I don't know any other words to use. It was just awful. And it was really, really upsetting and tough to watch, if I'm being completely honest. And, it's, we better see improvement. That's all I'd say. But Peter, how are you doing? And I guess give your initial thoughts on the game.
Well, I guess I'm fine. You know, we're not recording after the match, so I've kind of like, I've cooled down a bit. I've reflected a bit. Certainly would be better if I didn't have to watch that game, but I had to watch the game. I had to suffer through that, like you said. Not pleasing to watch. Definitely could have been better. I could have, it could have been, everything could have been better. I mean, I don't think there's one positive you can really take out of that match. I mean, I think every player was below average. Every player was poor. I mean, and so some players are just, I can't even speak on how poor, I've never seen like us play that poorly, but it's just insane. It's like, I don't know how you can possibly go from playing Spurs and how well we looked at points and how well we were passing, how well we can connecting some dangerous runs, dangerous chances we created, and go to that game where just everything was just, it was just so bad. It was just so awful. It's just confusing to me because it's the exact same system against the worst side, but, and it's just, we always do it though. We always play down to a team's level, but in this case, that's not even playing down to their level. That's just playing at a League One level because it's just so, so bad. I mean, just can't create anything offensively. I mean, we looked dangerous maybe the first 10-15 minutes, and then after that there was absolutely nothing from any of our attackers going forward. Sterling at points looked dangerous, but he was the only one out of the three attackers that looked anything like he wanted to play at all. Havertz somehow played the entire 90 minutes, even though he was basically not on the field at all with how well he was playing and how little he touched the ball and was involved. Mason Mount had another poor game. I think he definitely could have been better too. I mean, everybody could have been better. The midfield was also atrocious. I mean, that pivot of Gallagher and Jorginho basically didn't exist defensively, and then offensively it wasn't much better either. It was just not good at all. I mean, it was just so bad. I mean, Loftus-Cheek at wingback, it worked against Spurs, it did not work today. He looked lost. Cucurella actually played pretty well. I'd say he was one of the top performers, but that's not saying much because really he probably had a below average performance, but compared to everyone else, it looked like a masterclass. And then defensively too, Mendy, just everybody. I'll just
the what the hell was he doing?
I what possibly can go through your head to think, let me turn into Johan Cruyff and go for this Cruyff turn right here, right into my other leg, right into Aronson's leg, and just allow him to score. It's just, how can you possibly think that's the right idea there? Just clear it. He did like the same thing earlier in the game too, and it was like, okay, that barely worked. That was a bit sketchy right there. I don't think you should do that again. And as soon as he gets pressed, which he did many times, so it was good on Leeds for doing that, because it really meant we couldn't do anything. But I mean, Mendy just is incapable of clearing the ball and not passing it to the other team or dribbling into the person that's pressing him. And then center backs, Koulibaly especially, I think had an absolutely atrocious day. I mean, I got a red card when it was a second yellow when it was from a tactical foul when we were already 3-0 down. So there's no point in tactically fouling because of what's going to happen. Oh no, they'll score one more and it'll be 4-0. It was like the 80th minute. Like there's nothing at stake here. There's no point. Now you're suspended the next game. I mean, Thiago Silva was okay. I mean, he really couldn't do anything for any of the goals, but he also could have played better. Everybody could have. It's just so bad. It's pointed out so many bad things, and I'm sure there's thousands of bad things I've missed. So why don't you pick those up, Alex? Because I'm sure there's plenty, many more bad things to say about just such an awful performance.
You know, usually I hate doing this, and we always used to make fun of Peter for doing this because he always did this towards the beginning of the podcast and just go through every single player and what they did wrong. And I feel like this is just one of those cases that you have to do it. Mendy, I have no idea what the hell he was doing. I just don't understand. Like, he's not, you got to know when you're good at something and when you're not good at something. When you know you can't play the ball like that, like, it's not even like he can't distribute the ball, right? Like, he can ping the ball around. It's just his decision making when a player is pressing in on him, right? There's times to play out of the back and then there's times to kick it long. And he just doesn't seem to understand which one is which. And it's infuriating. And that really cost us the game today. If we don't go 1-0 down, I don't think we end up losing the game. You know, who knows, obviously. But it's just frustrating. Right center back, Reece James had a decent day. But then again, I feel like you're wasting his potential in the right wing back role where he can get forward. And when Aspie came on towards the end of the game, you actually saw him get forward quite effectively. Silva, whatever, he's the Rolls Royce. He didn't really do anything good or bad. Koulibaly, I don't know what the hell he's doing. Like, what in his right mind? Both of them were unnecessary. The yellow card initially was unnecessary because we had about six players back. He didn't need to grab him by the shirt. That was silly. And then the second one, again, unnecessary. Why does he have to do it? Like, it's just silly. And then you're now banned for a match, the next match, and it's like we already had lost the game. It was the 86th minute, 85th minute. Like, are you dumb? Like, I don't understand. Like, it's like we completely lost our heads at that point. And I'm sure he realizes it now. I'm sure Mendy realizes it now. Like, I don't need to, you know, keep preaching, but it was frustrating. Cucurella and Loftus-Cheek, I thought they were all right. Loftus-Cheek just looks so uncomfortable on the ball sometimes, and it's just so frustrating. He has so much potential, but I think right wing back, he's a little bit too big, a little bit too clunky to play on the right wing back role. And I think now with the injuries in the midfield, I think what you're going to have to do is go back to that back three with Aspie at right center back, bring Reece James to right wing back, and then play Loftus-Cheek with Jorginho in the middle. Because unfortunately, Conor Gallagher didn't look too great either today. I'm going to move on to him now. I thought he just looked average, nothing too special. I think as that double pivot, he doesn't really fit that role. He actually looked much better when we brought in the third midfielder and made it a 4-3-3. Jorginho, they just shut down Jorginho. That was kind of their plan. You could see it. That's tactically what they wanted to do, and they shut him down, and it really made Chelsea unable to create anything going forward. And then the three attackers, Sterling looked all right. Havertz, I forgot he was even playing. It was like a disappearing act. Mount, you know, didn't have his best day, didn't have his worst day. But Havertz, you know, I think in terms of what the main takeaways of today is, I guess we'll talk about them now. I'd say we'll talk about all three, but goalkeeper situation, midfield situation and number nine and attackers. I will go reverse order because we already talked about Mendy and stuff. But in terms of the attack, Kai Havertz cannot be starting at the number nine position. It's just he's not a striker. He's a deep lying attacker slash attacking midfielder. Even on the right hand side, I don't think he looks the most comfortable. Maybe he's a little bit more comfortable, but he needs to be. If we're playing like maybe a 3-5-2, he needs to be that attacking midfielder in the three of midfield. Or if we're playing a 4-3-3, he needs to be that attacking player of the three in midfield. He's just not made out to be up front. Even on the right wing, I don't think he's at his best. He's at his best making runs into the box from the midfield. And it's just, I think Tuchel hopefully is going to realize that soon, or he better at least before this window ends. And we need someone else up there. I don't understand why are we not giving Broja his chance. We're down 3-0. Bring him on. See what he can do. If he can score a goal, you know, get some confidence going for him. We saw what happened last season when he started scoring for Southampton. He started scoring more. And I think, we need a proper number nine. As much as Lukaku didn't work out, as much as whatever, you know, you can list 100 players that haven't worked out. We need someone there who can finish. Ronaldo, Aubameyang, I don't care, anyone really would just be good. Ivan Toney, just bring someone in who can freaking finish.
Exactly. The problem is like his Havertz really is his only option. I mean, that's the problem. He only plays because the only competition for his place is Broja. And Broja's unproven, you know, Tuchel might not like him in a system. Who knows what it is, but there's never a competition. And maybe that means Havertz isn't motivated to play his best, or it's just it doesn't fit the system. It doesn't fit his position, which I think is true. But it's the same thing every time. He's never involved. And when he is involved, it's dropping deep and then playing it, and then he never gets the ball in a spot where you need your number nine to get the ball, maybe take on a one player 1v1 and finish, or just get in the box and finish. It's you never see Havertz there, and I mean that's a problem because we need someone who can score our goals, and it's not going to come from who else would it come from? It's not going to come from Pens, it's just from Jorginho every single time, which is like the only way we can possibly score. That or Sterling making insane runs, which, I mean, he has been doing. He just can't seem to finish either. It's just, our finishing is just atrocious.
You know what everywhere. I'd almost say? I'd almost rather have, I know I'm not even being like American bias or anything, right? I'd rather have Christian Pulisic playing false nine, number nine almost, kind of where Kai Havertz is playing. More like Raheem Sterling has been at points during certain games. Because I feel like at least he can finish, man. At least a lot of the time. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being biased. I'm not even like one of those like, oh my God, American, you know, epic American Pulisic fanboys. I'm really more of a Chelsea fan, if I'm being honest. And I think he might just be better for Chelsea than Kai Havertz is currently. As crazy as that may sound. I personally think Tuchel should try that. He actually didn't look bad when he came on today, Christian Pulisic. I actually thought he looked pretty sharp. Ziyech didn't really get involved. But I think Pulisic, at least as a temporary solution, hopefully we can bring in. You know, I wasn't super high on Aubameyang, but my God, bring anyone in. Jeez, it's awful. It's just, you know, it's like painful to watch. Like, City were able to do it, but their other players can finish. Their other attackers were able to finish. Their other players finish. Whoever they had in that false nine role always finished. It's infuriating to watch all these chances get squandered in front of goal. Let's talk about the midfield now, too. So, obviously, Conte and Kovacic out. Badly missed, clearly. I think Mateo Kovacic we miss dearly. How he can create chances, how he can transition from attack to defense, how he can drive the ball forward, it's really badly missed.
I just want to say, I think the thing we miss the most about him is how good he is at breaking the press. Jorginho cannot do that. Conor Gallagher cannot do that. We don't have another midfielder like him where you can reliably trust him to get the ball from the back, maybe turn one player, take one player on 1v1 when they're pressing, and then transition us into attack. We don't see that, and that was the problem today. We didn't have anyone in the midfield who could, when they pressed us, who could comfortably play the ball forward after getting it from the defense, which just meant that we would slowly get sucked in, and then eventually they would win the ball, we'd have to give it away. And that's she's just so good at that, and it's just a shame because I was saying this earlier, how he's just always injured. The same with Conte. It's the same thing with Conte. He's so, so talented, and he's so, so good. It's just you can't ever actually see the talent because they never play because they're always injured. I mean, hopefully he'll be back soon because I'm a huge Coventry fan. I always, always talk about how much we miss him whenever he doesn't play, which seems to be every single game at this point just because of injuries. So he needs to come back soon because I need to have an actual midfielder in the pivot if we're gonna stick with this system. But we just need him. We need to sign Young, who, by the way, is not having a good game for Barcelona as we're recording this, which sign him. He fits the team. He's already a Chelsea player with that with his performance today. But just I don't even know where I'm going with this. It's just we need someone who can break the stress.
Honestly, Declan Rice would be perfect for Chelsea.
It's not even, but
he would be perfect. He would fit.
I'm not having this conversation right now.
Splash some cash, man.
Maybe at some other point we're not having this conversation a week away from the window ending.
I think Aubameyang, anyone, Ivan Toney. Literally anyone who could finish would be good. Stick me up there. That's what I've been saying. Stick me up there. I'll bang a few goals. And then the midfield, I think you're looking for someone with Kovacic's skill set to come in and hopefully reinforce him. I think De Jong possibly is a little bit like that. I think he's a little bit more, I don't even know the word to describe it, so I'm not going to say anything. but I don't know. I think we need to bring in reinforcements in all three levels of the team. Defensively too, obviously. I think, to be honest, defensively, the another center back is probably the least of the needs out of the three that we're talking about, in my opinion. I think it goes striker, midfield, and then center back.
It has to be midfield first. You cannot tell me during that game the entire time you weren't saying, please, please have someone. I need someone else in this pivot.
Here's the thing, though.
Every single time, I was just like,
we have two players. We have Conte. We have Kovacic. It's just they're injured. If we're talking about everyone up front is healthy, they just suck.
Yeah, that's true, but it's like, you can't say that Conte and Kovacic are injured just because they're injured, because it's not a coincidence anymore. It's a pattern. It's not just this one-off thing where it's like, oh, they're both injured at the same time. That's a shame. That really sucks because we need them both.
Yeah, but 50-60% of the time we have a good midfield when they're healthy. Like, when they're healthy, 50-60% of the games.
I get what you're saying, because, yeah, so we do need a tech.
What do you want, Kai Havertz up there for centuries? He's never going to even show. I don't even think he touched the ball today, did he? I don't know.
He had like that Lukaku game where it's like 7 touches in a game, the new Premier League record. I mean, and all the touches he had were like missed controls straight to the other team.
Oh my God, it was awful. It was awful, man. It's terrible. I guess let's do the player ratings now. We didn't do them last week. We cheated. And now our Premier League table predictions are going on even farther. So you're gonna have to wait till like September for those.
No, you just wait until the end of the season.
Then we'll predict
what we would have predicted the beginning of the season at the end of the season, right, and then compare.
As soon as Josh comes back from his hiatus, we will do it. Okay, probably like 10%. Likelihood. All right, so hold on, get ready. All right, let's do the player ratings. So I'm not gonna look, because like we both are gonna guess together, and I'm gonna like pretend like, well, I'm not gonna pretend, I'm not gonna look, and we're just gonna go from there. I don't know why I'm explaining myself that way. Edouard Mendy out of 10. These are Fan Nation, absolute Chelsea. Frustrating. I mean, Edouard Mendy, what, like a 2?
2-1-3-3-3 max. I mean, because did he even have like any saves? I think like
he had like one save, but it wasn't that impressive.
I was gonna say, is it even like a good save?
It was all right, maybe two or three. Maybe. I'd say I don't think they're gonna roll one
when you're comparing it to what he did on that first goal, which basically derailed the entire game, you know.
I mean, he lost us the game in a sense, so I'm going to go 2, maybe?
I think 2. I think 2 is fair.
All right, 2 is our guess. He got a 3, so we are wrong. 0-1. Reece James is the next player. What do you think?
Maybe a 5. I mean, he was I'd say below average at center back. He didn't really have the same performance he did against Spurs at center back.
I'd go 5.
Yeah. Once he went to wing back, like usual, he showed how good he is. I mean, he was the most... I don't know if he was the most dangerous, but he was much, much more dangerous and was much more in the game at wing back. So I think it was probably a 4 beforehand, but I think bumped up to a 5 with how he played at wing back.
All right, so he was actually a 4.5, so I'm just going to give that one to us because we're like between a 4 and a 5.
I literally was like, I just said that it was a 4 bumped up to a 5, so I mean...
So we can't tell, like, Josh isn't here to tell us it's, you know, a decimal, so I think we get that one, you know? So anyone who disagrees, well, that's too bad because this is how it's working. We make the rules.
We want to.
We can cheat. So we're 1-2. Next is Thiago Silva. What do you think? For him out of 10.
4.5 also. I mean,
I'm gonna say 5.
I think 5. He was just average. I mean, it's not his fault that everyone around him played completely awful. He didn't really do anything completely horrendous, but everyone else did, so unlucky.
All right, we're right. He got a 5. All right, so 2-3. We're 2-3. Very good. Very excellent so far. Koulibaly, 3-4. I don't know. He was terrible.
Mendy got a 3. I say Koulibaly at a 3 is also fair.
All right, we'll do 3. He got a 2. Oh my god.
I mean that red card. It was just stupid. So brain dead that I think. I mean, 2 is fair just because that's just an awful. The thought process is just awful. So yeah, that's completely fair.
All right, so we are 2-4. Mark Cucurella. I'm gonna go 5.
I'd say 5. Like Silva, he was quite average. Not his fault that everyone else in the team played completely horrible. He was fine.
He actually got a 3, so we are
wrong.
Whoa!
I don't know about that. That's all right. That seems a bit low for me, but I mean, I could give everyone 3s, and I would
honest,
be like,
yeah.
I'd give everyone 3s, and I would be like, it's deserved, so I'm fine with it.
Ruben,
personally, I would have given a higher point.
Okay.
Loftus-Cheek. Okay, if Cucurella got a 3, Loftus-Cheek got a 3. That's all I'll say.
I would agree. 3. All right, let's see. Loftus-Cheek got a 3. All right, we're right. Mm. We're right. Very exciting. We'll count it up at the end.
We can just give 3s to everyone else, every single other player, and then we probably will be more than right half of the time.
All right, Jorginho.
I mean,
3?
Also a 3.
Yeah, I'm going to go 3.
I was half joking, but I mean, he actually deserves a 3, so.
He actually got a 2.
I mean, once again, I did say it earlier, he was non-existent on defense, and then on offense, he wasn't much better, so I mean.
Oh my god.
That's deserved.
All right, Connor Gallagher?
2 or 3, whichever one you want, Alex.
I'm going to go 2, because Jorginho and him were both bad.
They were just non-existent, so yeah.
Hey, he's a 2. All right, we're right. All right, so that's like something. I don't know what his rating is going to be.
I think we're probably 50% still. Yeah, I think we're 50%.
All right, Mason Mount.
3.
Yeah, 3 or 4 maybe. I don't know.
No, 3. He really... What did he really do during the game? That's my question.
That's true.
Exactly.
I mean, he drove forward a little bit at times. I don't know.
I mean, I'd say he was definitely better when he dropped in the midfield in a 4-3-3, but before that, I don't think he, kind of like Havertz, he really, like,
yeah,
was non-existent, basically.
He had, so we're going to go with
3.
Yeah, I think we went with 3, right? Okay, I was just making sure. So he actually had a 3.5.
Well, you said 4, I said 3, so.
We're getting it. We get that one. Yep, all right. Next player, we got Kai Havertz. I'm gonna say a 1 or a 2. I'm gonna be generous, and I'll say a 2.
There's no way they're giving.
If he gets higher than a 2, it would be madness.
If he gets higher than a 2, then I don't know if we can use these ratings anymore.
Oh my god. Okay, ready? Let's see what he got. He got a 1.5.
Well, did we count that too? Because you also
We count it. I just thought they never give a one.
So like, I was like, I guess a two then. So.
Oh, we count it. All right. Raheem, the dream, Sterling. I'm going to say four. It was all right.
I'd say maybe five. If Silva, Cucurella did not get a five. I forgot.
Cucurella got a three.
Cucurella did get a three. So maybe not. I'd say four then. Yeah, I think four.
All right, four. He got a three.
He was definitely a best attacker. I think a four would have been more fair, but whatever. Yeah. You know?
All right, so we got. Three,
I did say earlier. I mean, so we got to get threes.
One, two,
seven.
Three. How did you know that already? Four. Five. Six. Yes, we got seven. 7 out of 11. Very inspirational from us. Great job to us. And pat on the back. Peter, you patting yourself on the back? I'm patting myself on the back.
It was a solid showing. Much better than the actual team's performance today.
Agreed, agreed. You know, disappointing again today. And, you know, hopefully we'll bounce back next weekend. I believe it's Southampton, right? Am I wrong? Let's hope I'm not wrong. It's Leicester. Yep, I'm an idiot. So
hopefully we sign Fofana before then, because now we need a center back to play because it's Koulibaly.
Yeah. So we got Leicester and then Southampton right after. So we will be back after that, and we'll hopefully be back after win. Make sure to go follow us on Twitter at Talking Blues Pod. And I think that's pretty much it. Thank you, everyone, for listening today, and hopefully we'll be back after a Chelsea win. Peace.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason, and this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.